and welcome everyone to today's fellowship. May the Lord open our hearts to receive His word and messages afresh like never before. May His word set the stage for you and I to receive His power and guidance afresh. In the name of Jesus, amen. We shall be looking at the message titled, Jesus Knows All About Our Struggles. May I explain to you that life as a journey is often marked by profound struggles stemming from this fallen world and the human flesh. These struggles are designed to test our faith and foster our reliance on God. These struggles are not presented as signs of failure. Oh no! But they are known as common human experiences that can lead us to spiritual growth. It is very clear that we all go through different struggles in life. In this life, our struggles may be physical. They may be emotional. They may even be spiritual. Confused, not knowing how to get solutions. It could range from personal trauma, tragedies, trials, spiritual warfare, and even persecution for what you knew nothing about. But whatever your struggles may be, you are to demonstrate God's strength in your weaknesses. I will explain further. When we recognize our limits, we should surrender our struggles to God because God's plan works best for us. Don't take matters into your hands. Don't do revenge. Those revenge tactics are no good for you as a child of God. Let me assure you, stop pointing fingers at human beings that are the reason for your struggles and pain and tribulations. Stop it. Focus on God, who knows everything and who can give you victory while inside that turbulence. Let me assure you that God knows everything about you and your struggles. He says His grace is sufficient for you and His power is made perfect even in your weaknesses. Let's read together 2 Corinthians chapter 12 from 8 to 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 from verses 8 and 9. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Apostle Paul pleaded with God three times to remove a thorn in the flesh, a painful, lingering difficulty. But you know what God did? God responded that His grace is sufficient enough, and His strength is made perfect in His human weaknesses and struggles. That means, when a person is weak and you rely on God, you are actually strong. God's strength is not just about removing problems or taking away our struggles, but it is about providing the grace for us to endure and thrive through them. I sat down as I was studying thriving through them. Something came to me that said, truly, you must go through battle to get your victory. But God is the one that designed the way that victory will be achieved. Your struggles may be hardship or something that is a thorn in your flesh. They are all used to keep you humble and keep us dependent on God. We must rely on God's strength at all times rather than our own. We must glorify His power rather than our human authority. We must allow His grace to work effectively through our limitations and struggles. When you allow God to walk through your struggles and challenges, you find purpose rather than the instant removal of the issue. You see yourself shifting. You now see yourself shifting your focus rather than the instant removal of the matter. You see yourself shifting from the burden to trust in His divine guidance. Your challenges and struggles become your tools for your growth and maturity. So next time somebody goes through that same situation, you now have the matured wisdom to counsel that person. And because Jesus knows all about our struggles, He accompanies us through them all. He provides comfort and assurance that all is well and you are not alone. He said, I am with you. Let's look at the book of Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yeah, I will help thee. Yes, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God says, do not be afraid. He will help you. He will strengthen you and uphold you with His right hand, with His righteous, right, powerful hand. What else do you want? Jesus knows all about our struggles. That is why it is very, very important for us to stop complaining, nagging, quarreling, and stop acting ignorant and behaving as if all is lost. Because Jesus is waiting for you to call on Him and lift your voice to declare His word. He is waiting for you to lift yourself up out of your misery and put His word into action. He is waiting for you to put His words into practice. He is expecting you to turn on scripture verses into direct miracles. Jesus is waiting for you to apply scriptures into your current life struggles and situation, no matter how complicated they are. God has the resolution for them all in His word. Use them. They are our resources and our weapons. They are our functional lamp to our dark places. They are our guide and spiritual sustenance. They reveal God's character. They reveal God's love and His grace that is available to us. Turn on your scriptural verses into your own light that shows you the way to live this life successfully. Jesus is not a distant deity. He is not, but a Savior who became fully human that experienced pain like me and like you. He experienced temptations like me and you. He experienced hardship of life firsthand like me and you. That is why he said he is able to touch the feelings of our infirmities in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15. Jesus said, for we have an high priest, we cannot be touched. For we have an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus understood the emotional and physical weight of human struggles. He does. Because he experienced the full spectrum of human pain, including loneliness, rejection, betrayal, hunger, fatigue, and temptation. He experienced them all. You are not alone. Jesus faced exhaustion. He faced hunger. He was rejected by his friends. He experienced loneliness, and an extreme emotional distress. He understood every weakness of ours because he was tempted in every way that we have experienced, but he did not sin. Jesus did not just observe human life, he lived it. He grew up at family like me and you and experienced physical pain. When Jesus brought this message up, he just understood all our struggles. It sounded funny. I'm not mean God is funny. It sounded, I say, how? Then I quickly bowed down myself and went into prayers. And I started seeing revelations afresh, even for me, from within me. I said, it's true. He experienced every pain that I went through. And I started digging deep. Remember when Jesus wept for the death of a friend in John chapter 11, verse 35? The shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Jesus shed those tears upon arriving at the tomb of his friend Lazarus after being dead for 4 days. He was deeply moved by the grief of Mary, Martha, and others around. This shows his humanity and compassion. Despite knowing he will resurrect Lazarus, he still expressed his deep compassion, love. Remember, Jesus was betrayed by a very close friend of his called Peter. I was abandoned by friends during his arrest. I would like us all to read these upcoming verses together. Matthew chapter 26, verse 69 to 72. I want you, as you read the word of God, you confess the word of God, you understand the word of God, you are declaring it for yourself and you're understanding it for your today and for your tomorrow. You are empowering yourself. Don't think that when you declare these scriptures, you read these scriptures, they are just mere words. They are power. Matthew chapter 26, verse 69 to 72 says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Don't excuse yourself and blame Peter, because me and you, we sometimes do something funny like that. But for me, not again. I don't care where I am, who I'm with. I declare my Jesus boldly. Because I know whose I am. Right in the wilderness. After Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus came face to face with temptation. Allowing him to understand the struggle against sin. Let's read again the book of Matthew chapter 4 verse 1 to 7. Matthew chapter 4 verses 1 to 7 says, then was Jesus led up of the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward an hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, it shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Don't forget that Satan was an archangel in heaven, the head of the music band in heaven. He knows the word of God. But in verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Satan came to tempt a famished Jesus after fasting for 40 days to be able to turn stones to bread. What? Which was what he needed. But Jesus responded to him by saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus refused to prioritize his material comfort over obedience to God. Again, the devil took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple in the city and quoted scriptures from Psalm 91, trying to tempt Jesus to throw himself down to see if God will actually protect him. This scripture Satan quoted in Matthew chapter 4, verse 6, was originally written in Psalm 91, verses 11 to 12. Let's go. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus also responded by declaring from the scriptures with, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test, which also came from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16 says, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massa. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as you did tempted him in Massa. I will tell you where Massa is. God bless everyone that have been attending our Bible study. Massa is also known as Meribah. That was where the Israelites first demanded for water, quarreled with Moses and Aaron, as they doubted God's presence, despite all the miracles that God has performed for them. By this declaration, Jesus rejected the temptation to force God's hand. Jesus' victory demonstrates that reliance on God and God's word is the ultimate defense against every form of temptation, tribulation, struggles, pain, sickness, disease, and whatever you are going through that does not give you peace. Because Jesus understands the Bible encourages believers to come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of our need. That is why he quoted in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. He says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Because Jesus is God, his knowledge is absolute. He sees the struggles you try to hide or those ones you feel embarrassed to talk about. He knows them all. He says, rather than remove every struggle, Jesus promised to walk through them with you, using the pain to build character and hope for you. John chapter 16 verse 33. John chapter 16 verse 33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You will surely find peace in the middle of all your struggles and trouble in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' earthly life enables him to be a merciful and faithful high priest who truly empathizes with our suffering. That is why he invited us believers to trust him with our burdens. Psalm 55 verse 22. Psalm 55 verse 22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. You will never suffer. God will never allow the righteous to suffer or to be moved in the name of Jesus. Amen. This verse promises that God will provide strength, he will support you, and stability when you transfer your worries, anxieties, and all your heavy loads to him. This is the reason why Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, Apostle Peter says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Commit all your work and business decisions and dealings to God, and your plans will be established. Commit all your school work and responsibilities to God. You will be successful. Commit all your struggles to God. He will grant you peace and stability." Proverbs chapter 16 verse 3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So shall it be in the name of Jesus." Jesus knows all about our struggles. That is the reason he said to us in the book of Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 to 30. Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 to 30. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest upon your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When you release your worries and hand them over to God, he will give you peace. Jesus is not just a historical figure, but a present counselor and comforter who resides with believers and in believers. He is referred to as the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. Now, God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who consoles believers in all our afflictions and our struggles. This divine comfort is not just for our personal relief, no, but to enable us believers to support others in any trouble using the same comfort they received from God. God promised to stand alongside believers during our struggles, providing strength and encouragement for us. Our comfort is to equip believers to minister to others who are hurting. Don't forget your place as a child of God. Please don't. But what about you that is yet to give your life to Jesus to become a believer or a born-again child of God? It means that the promises are not meant for you until you become a child of God that is genuinely born again. Jesus resides in us believers through the Holy Spirit, creating an inseparable union where he lives his life through us. As a non-born again believer, Jesus cannot reside in you until you surrender your life to him. But for us believers, it is written, according to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that I am crucified. I want everybody to read it after me, please, or read it on the screen. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Which means that the life of a Christian is not driven by self-effort, but by relying on the power and love of Jesus Christ, who resides in us believers. Jesus understands your struggles. He understands all our struggles better than you or anyone else, because he lived them. He experienced them. He knows firsthand what you are going through. Therefore, you are never alone in your pain. He is not far from you. He is inside of you. He is sympathetic. He is present. He is a powerful helper in time of your need. But if you are not yet born again, you are not yet genuinely born again. I can't say that for you. But if you are ready and willing to join the family of Jesus and become born again child of God, enjoy full relationship and, if I might say, romance with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh. So that you can declare boldly speak against Satan and your struggles and pain and say, it is written. And that situation will find their way out of you. The time is now. As you repeat after me, the prayer of salvation. Heavenly Father, I know that I've sinned against you. I repent of all my sins. Please forgive me. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, and he is alive. I invite Jesus to become the Lord of my life. Take absolute control of my life. And write my name in the Lamb Book of Life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I believe you've been blessed with this message. Join an amazing moment in God's presence by fellowshipping in His presence. There we'll learn and grow in God's words and prayer. It's a partnership with God's people and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Follow the link below to join us every Sunday and bi-weekly Wednesdays on our audio platforms. You're welcome.